Friday, the 18th of May, Rabbi Daniel Mann, Parsha Insights.
Right, we have a pasuk, a verse of this week's Parsha. It says, Ki li kol b'chor, Hashem says to me is every firstborn. The yom hi kesi kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim, on the day that I hit each b'chor in the land of Mitzrayim, on that day, hikdashti li kol b'chor b'nei Yisrael. And that, on that day, I made Kurdish, I made holy all the b'chorim in the Yisrael. So we have here in this pasuk, we have here a connection between Makas Bukharas, when the firstborns in the time were hit, and we have and the connection of Kedushas Bukhar, that the firstborn in Klal Yisrael, there's a certain Kedusha. I'd like to try and discuss that. What's the connection? Why is it that on that day Hashem was Makdish the Bukharim? We'll start with an introduction on Geula in general. And then we'll work our way back towards Bukhar. I once read a story. I think it was with Shimon Schwab, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure. And the story goes like this. There had been some sort of victory, some sort of good news had taken place in Israel. And people were very, very excited. It was very, very exciting, very momentous. So excited, in fact, that there was a member of Schwab's kehillah that was sure Mashiach must be here. It's imminent. He's about to come. And so he went over to his Rav and he said, Rebbe, is Mashiach here? And he gave an interesting answer. He said, did you daven Maariv tonight? He said, yes, I daven Maariv. He said, did you feel anything different about tonight's Maariv than the Maariv the night before? He goes, nope. And the night before? No, it's just a Maariv like any other Maariv. Nothing. He says, if it's just a Maariv, then Mashiach's not here. That's what he said. Well, we see from this story is that the Rav understood when we're talking about Geula, when we're talking about Mashiach, we're not just talking about the physical freedom that we experience, which is obvious, but we're talking about something spiritual. We're talking about our hiskashus, our connection, our dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if that increases, so then the events that we see in the world, we can interpret, we can understand, that must be part of the Geula, the ultimate Geula. However, if there's nothing that takes place inside us internally, if our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has remained unchanged, it's the same as before, then you're missing the main ingredient of Geula, and you can't really talk, and everything else must be something else. You see this really in the Pesukim, when the four Lashonos of Geula, the last one is, V'lakachti, V'lakachti Eschem Lila'am, I'll take you for a nation, for Yisi Lachem Le'elokim, I'll be for you to a God. That the ultimate purpose of the Geula was, Hayisi Lachem Le'elokim, I'm going to be a God for you. This concept is brought out very, very nicely by Rav Dessler, by Rav Dessler Zatzal. A famous Vartara. It says like this, the different Gersus, I think. But the Gemara in Tainus Lamed says, Kol Nesabal Yerushalayim. Anybody who mourns over Yerushalayim, is Zoche V'Raya B'Simchasa, as one Gersa, some say B'Nechamasa, maybe Yeshua. Whoever mourns over Yerushalayim, he will merit to see the joy of Yerushalayim. And many people ask that over the generations there's been many tears shed on Tisha B'Av. Many, many people cry each Tisha B'Av. And yet they pass, Dor comes and Dor goes, and they haven't seen the Nechama of Yerushalayim. What does it mean that he will see? But if you look a little bit closer, it's also a little bit puzzling, because it doesn't say Yizka, he will see. It says Zocha, he merits, Varoa, and he sees, as if it's in present tense, and that's certainly puzzling. So it says like this, we all know the famous Chazal says by the Mishkan, it says, V'shachanti b'sochem, I will dwell, b'sochem, in them. The problem is there's only one Mishkan. According to the way the pasuk is set up, you would expect there to be many Mishkans. There's this Mishkan, that Mishkan, and the third Mishkan, and Hashem says, I'm going to dwell in all of them. What does it mean, plural, I will dwell in them? Say Chazal, that it's referring to the Shechina Balev, that he's going to dwell in the heart of each and every Jew. And it's true. There are many Bati Mikdash, there are many Mishkans. Each and every Jew is his own Mishkan. It says in Chaim Volozhin that his heart, the heart of a Jew, that's the Kachi Kachin, because that's where the Shechina is. Oh, what does the Shechina do? Hashem is all over. We know Hashem is everywhere. What does it mean that the Shechina is in his heart? Perhaps what it means is, even though Hashem is all over, but we don't always relate to that. It's hidden from us. We don't always see that Hashem is there. When Hashem, in a sense, relates to us, when he makes himself, and he acts in a way, perhaps, which is a bit more apparent, then we can say the Shechina is there. Somebody walks into a shul, he recognizes Hashem is there. Somebody sees a Maita Hashkacha Pratis. He sees how Hashem moves events around in favor of the Jewish people. He sees the Shechina. And so too, inside a Jew's heart is the Shechina. And that Shechina does a few things. One thing it does is announce its presence. Amunah Pshuta. If a Yid has a simple Amunah, it doesn't come because he philosophized and he figured it out. Even if he's a 13-year-old boy, he's required to have Amunah. Why? Because of the Shechina Balei. Because the Shechina announces himself, I'm here, recognize me. Another thing the Shechina might do is it might say, it's early in the morning, you should get up, go to Daven, and get up and go to a Shir. The Shechina influences people to go do something, to go do something with us. But there's a problem, says Rav Dessler. Occasionally, a person does a chait, a person does a sin. And when he does these sins, he builds himself a mechitza. He builds himself a partition between the Shechina that's in his heart and himself. And what happens is, the Shechina is constantly sending out messages. Hear me, I'm here, listen to me. But nobody hears him. There's a wall, and it's just going no place. And that's the concept we have of Shechinta begalusa. The Shechina is in Galus. It's all alone, it's lost. Nobody hears it, nobody recognizes it. That's the concept of Shechinta begalusa. When somebody mourns for the destruction of the temple, he mourns over Yerushalayim, what he's saying there was a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was part of my life. There was a time when Klal Yisrael was davik by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day long. And he's misabal not just on the physical building, he loved the beautiful buildings that were in Yerushalayim. He's misabal much more than that. He's misabal on internally, on the depth of the connection that Klal Yisrael had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they were in Yerushalayim. And at that point, when he is crying, when he says, I want to hear the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's turning himself towards that Shechina in his leg. He's listening for it. He's looking for it. At that point, he himself experiences his own Nechama, his own Geula, because he himself is returning to the Shechina. He's redeeming that Shechina that's in his heart, and he's giving it an audience. We find a very similar verse in Oz Yashir, Rav Moshe David Vali. It says in the pasuk there, Amzuka Alta, there's a nation that you redeemed, Nahalta, you led them, Ba'ezcha, with your knife, El Nevei Kodshecha, you led them to the holy abode. That's very nice, had they been in Eretz Yisrael. But they weren't in Eretz Yisrael, they were just leaving Mitzrayim, they were crossing Kriyat Yamsuf. They were in the middle of the Red Sea. What does it mean you already led them to your holy abode? Says the Moshe David Vali, the same verse. When they were in Mitzrayim, because of the term in Mitzrayim, they didn't have the same Dveikus with the Shechina that they previously had. Kishenigalu, when they took him out, right away they were davek b'shechina. And that's what they were thinking about, Nahalta ba'atcha levei kodshecha, that you led us to your holy abode, meaning we reconnected with the Shechina, which is in our heart. Similarly, we say, in the Haggadah, we say, matzah zu, we eat it, why do we eat the matzah? Because the dough didn't have time to rise. Achenigla alei melech malchi amlachem ha-kadosh baruch hu ugalam. Until Hashem revealed himself to them and redeemed them. It wasn't enough that they left Mitzrayim. The main point is that it was a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah. At this point, there's two things that I understand about Gula Yisrael. The first thing is obvious. We're talking about the redemption of Yisrael. We must be talking about something that happens to the Jewish nation, right? If there's a nation out in Africa that has a Yeshua, it's hard to understand that that's the Gula Yisrael. Also, we understand that primarily the main concept of Gula is the Gula of Ruchnia. And the physical aspects are a manifestation of that Gula Ruchnia. And because of this Hakdama, one year I was learning the Haggadah, and I was very puzzled. See, the Haggadah starts like this. It says something, V'yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mitzrayim. I think it says that. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Okay. So it says the Haggadah, this is very important, Lo Yidei Malach. An angel didn't take you out. Lo Yidei Saraf, it wasn't a Saraf. Lo Yidei Shliach, there were no messengers involved. The Chvoido V'atma Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. That's very exciting. So at this point, I start to think, well, when did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? Now, I thought, well, maybe Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Hashem might be crossed the Red Sea, so maybe that means we left Mitzrayim, and it was miraculous. You could see Hashem's hand all over the place, but that's not what it says in the Haggadah. It doesn't say that. Okay, maybe it means Matan Torah. It's a little bit after Gulas Mitzrayim, but it was the purpose. It was so we could stretch it, and we see the hand of Hashem is spiritual. It's something he did to the Jews. No, it doesn't say that. Okay, when they actually left the land of Egypt and they entered another land, they crossed the border, that was a miracle. They went from Ramses and they went to Sukkot, I think. They did that, and it says it was like Kherath Ayin, it was about counting the Sharon. They did it instantly. In less time than it takes to bake your matzah, that's how quickly they traveled 120 mil. That's a miracle. Hashem took us out of the Mitzrayim. He yanked us out. He put us on the other side of the border. But it's not what that God has said. So what does it say? How did Hashem take us out of the Mitzrayim? What did he do all by himself? He says, I punished the Mitzrayim. I hit the firstborn. And I was let down. I was disappointed. He says, this is something he's doing to us. Right? He's going to take... And he punished the firstborn. I have nothing against the Mitzrayim being punished. I'm sure they deserved it. But we're talking about Geulas Yisrael over here. It should say something that Hashem did to us, not how he punished the Mitzrayim. And where's the spirituality? This is revenge. Where's the Ruchnius? He hit the firstborn. We just got the saying, the whole point of Gula is Ruchnius. This is a punishment, Nekama. Why is this called the Chvaydo Ba'atma V'yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mimitzrayim? So some of Arshim, not all, but some of Shannon say, well, it's indirect. Hashem punished the Mitzrayim. And therefore, they gave us our exit visas, and the next day we left. But it's a little bit forced, because the whole point of Agada is that this was something that was direct. This was something that Hashem did the Chvaydo Ba'atma. And what it really was, it was like a relay. Hashem did something to Mitzrayim, and then Paro went to Moshe, and the next day, right, and needs more of a hezber. Okay, let's move on. There's a Pachad Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Kudner. Says like this. He says, Makas Bacharas is unique amongst the 10 plagues in a number of ways. And we're going to go through a few of them. The first one he says is that many of the Makas had a warning. There was an Asura. Moshe Rabbeinu came up with the power. He says, let my people go. And if you don't let them go, ooh, it's going to be blood. It's going to be frogs. He gave him a list of each time before the Makkah. He gave him a warning. And Pharaoh didn't listen. He says, but Makkah's Bacharas was different. There was a warning before Makkah's Bacharas, but there was an additional warning much earlier, before the first Makkah. And he says, why is it that Makkah's Bacharas gets an additional warning, and it's out of place, it's way before. In fact, Makkah's Bacharas takes place in Parshas Bo. Right, the seven of the Makos take place in Parshas Ve'era, right? But this first warning takes place all the way in Parshas Shemot. And Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to power. And he says, "Koyamai Hashem, b'ni b'char Yisrael, my nation is a b'char." And he says, "If you don't take them out, hinei anochi harig esvincha b'charecha." If you don't let them out, right? So right off in the beginning, Hashem says, "Makos b'charis." Why is it mentioned first? Secondly, he says that Makos b'charis is unique in a few other aspects. First of all, you don't find any other makkah, any other plague, that there's a mitzvah associated with it. Right? One of the plagues was life. But there's no mitzvah that one side of your post is in the mezuzah, on the other side you put a dead louse. Right? There's no such mitzvah. Right? There's no mitzvah to do anything with rod. There's no mitzvah associated with any of the makkahs. However, makkahs b'charis, in this week's pasha, we have a mitzvah of kedushas b'char, and the mitzvah of pidin aben, by people, by animals. Why is makkahs b'charis so special that there's a mitzvah associated with that makkah? This is really the kasha that we started with. He elaborates on it further. He says, not only is it a mitzvah, but it's a kedusha. Right? There's a kedusha b'char. But he says it's more than that. Because if you think it's just the kedusha of the firstborn, it's a mistake. He says Rav Hutner, it really goes deeper than that. Because kedusha b'char is really something that's manifest by all of Chai Yisrael. But it's most manifest by the b'char. And that's what it says in Pasuk, B'ni b'char Yisrael. Says the Footner, that means that all of Chai Yisrael has Kedushas Bukhar. When did that happen? Says the Footner, that happened right at Makkah's Bukharas. At Makkah's Bukharas, right, as we said in the Pasuk, that the Yom Tetzi called Bukhar Ben Susan Kashti, I was Makkah's all the Bukharim for me. Right, the Psukim and Navi that talk about this also, it says Chai Yisrael is called Rashis to us at the first. Here we have again the concept of being first. The first Rashi in Chumash. Anyways, it says Bereshis. Hashem created the world Bereshis with the first. Meaning his first intention, what was that? Says Rashi B'Shvil Yisrael. So right off from the start of the Chumash, we're already introduced to this concept of Chai Yisrael being the Bechar. So we know that we say in the Chagodi and in Kabbalah Shabbos, we say a famous concept, Sof Maaseh B'Machshav Tehila. What does that mean? If somebody needs a place to live, so first he envisions, I need a place to live, I need a place for my family, he gets an architect, he designs the house, right? That's the Machshav Tehila. But then they start digging a hole in the ground, doesn't look like a house. They lay a foundation, still doesn't look like a house. One story, another story, they put in the plumbing, the heating, the lighting, and then, oh, we have a house. That's the Sof Maaseh. But when that Sof Maaseh equals the Machshav HaTechila, but in between, there are many, many stages. So it says the same thing. Klal Yisrael was the purpose of the world, right? Gracious to Shul Yisrael. And so too, Makas Pecharos, what happened by Makas Pecharos, and we'll talk about this more later, that was also the purpose of all the ten Makas. That was the self-masa. That was the ultimate purpose. Hashem says the goal was, we're going to hit Makas Pecharos. That's it. Right? And therefore, the Machshava Techila, before he started the whole process of the ten plagues, of taking Klal Yisrael out, right away from that point he says, we're focused, what are we focusing on? We're focusing on Makas Pecharos. That's the verse from my footnote. We say this in davening, probably every day. Kol b'chareim harakta, you killed all their b'charim, u'b'char kol ga'alta, and you redeemed your b'char. It's poetic, it has the word b'char, there's a hekesh, b'char, b'char, but what is the part, are we saying something more than that? Is there a connection between the two? There's a chizkuni. Chizkuni says something very interesting. It's on a pasuk in Shemot. He says something, he says like this, that it's talking just by Makas Pecharos. Actually, this is his wording, actually. He says, on the day that Hashem took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, meaning the day of Makas Pecharos, and he says, Vayidav Hashem HaMoshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe on that day. What time of that day? Bachati HaLaiva, Hashem spoke to Moshe at Chatzot, exactly. What was significant about Chatzot? B'shaz Makas Pecharim, at the time that Hashem was hitting the Becharim, at that very same time, there was a parallel thing. Hashem said to Moshe, Kanishli kol b'char b'bnei Yisrael. Fascinating. At the very same, it wasn't a seedling before Makas Pecharos to prepare them. It wasn't something that happened afterwards as a commemoration, but it was a dual thing that happened. At the very same time that there was Makas Pecharos, Hashem told Moshe, he should be Makadish all the b'charim in the time. It's a chizkuni. And he learns it out from this week's parasha. And that's very puzzling. What's the connection? Why is it at precisely the same moment there was both Kedushas Bechar by Klal Yisrael, and there was Makas Pecharos by the Goyim, by the Mitzrayim? Okay. Now the way we're going to answer this is we're going to look at a person in Chumash Bereishis. I don't know if any of you are thinking of this person right now, but the person I'm referring to is none other than Lot. Lot is the answer to our problem. Lot is a very, very difficult person to understand. Right? Some people seem to think that Lot was a tzaddik. It's a mistake. But some people have that impression. Why? Because when Malachim came to Lot, he was eating matzah. He must have been a firm yid. He was eating matzah. Right? And we find also that he was life and nefesh for us not to darken. Right? He risked his life. In fact, he risked his daughters too, which he's criticized for. Right? Why? For the mitzvah of having gifts, says Rashi. He learned about hospitality from Avraham Avinu. Okay? So we see something good about Lot. Lot is commended for having kept a secret. Avram came to lands of Goyim, and he would say that Sarah was his sister, and Lot was the only one that knew the secret that Sarah was really his wife, and he kept it to himself. He's commended for it. Okay. Another thing which is very important about Lot is ultimately the Davidic dynasty and Mashiach. The Neshama of Mashiach was in Lot, and it came from Lot. Right? So we have a tremendous story of Ruchnius buried deep, deep in Lot. I think there's a pasuk, Matsati David Avi, where did I find him? I found him in Sodom. Okay. On the other hand, we find that Lot is severely criticized. Right? When you want to think of a shikr in halacha, it says, Kishikusa Salait. That's he's the epitome of a shikr. Okay? We says, when Lot left left Avram, they split. So it says, the use of Lot, he lifted his eyes, he saw the area of Sodom. So, says the Medrash, you know why he wanted to go there? Because he liked the Arayas. He liked incest. That was the reason he was drawn towards immorality. That was the attractive feature of Sodom. That's why he went there, to Medrash Rabbah. And it goes through, it spends a while on this point, bringing it out again and again. Rashi hints to this, because it says in the pasuk that the people of Sodom were very, very wicked. Says Rashi, but that didn't deter Lot. Okay, there was something about it that didn't bother him. In fact, he was attracted to it. Then we have again, Vayisa Lot Mikedem. Lot left Kedem. Right? Says Rashi, what does that mean? He see asma, it's based on a medrash, he see asma mikadmuna sha'olam. He distanced himself from he that preceded the world. He distanced himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what did he say? He didn't just create a little bit of a distance, but he said, Efshi, I don't want Lob Avram, I don't want Avram, Lob Kav, I don't want, he didn't want anything, he didn't want his God either, he left. So we see over here, Lot is refusing Judaism. It's an outright refusal, denial, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. Okay? Tzaddikism. Tzaddikism. Then we also see that when he got drunk, the Rashi comments, that okay, the first night he didn't really know, but apparently there's some doubts by the word of Akuma. When he got up from his first daughter, right, he lived with both his daughters, right, they got him drunk, and each night, on consecutive nights. So it says that he didn't know when he first lived with her, but when she left, Uvukuma, Rashi says at that point he realized something happened. At that point, Rashi says the criticism, he should have been very careful the next night to make sure they don't do this trick again. And he did, he wasn't. Apparently, it's a criticism. Lot should have been more careful. Certainly, he didn't have the shmira of a tzaddik to make sure that he shouldn't have a chait. Like, there's a story told with Rav Aaron. He once saw something that he didn't want to see. Rav Aaron Kutter. He started to cry. He said, what did I sin that Hashem punished me in this way? It was an honest. It wasn't his fault. But a tzaddik should have a shmira. Lot's shmira apparently was apparently wasn't strong. And the Medrash says this. The Medrash says that this is because he chose Sodom. He went to Sodom because of the immorality. And the Medrash says that the end is, they see them from his own flesh. We find the descendants of Lot are kept at a distance from Chai Yisrael. They could convert, okay, but once they convert, their shidduchim opportunities are limited because there's a pasuk, they can't come in, no matter what, 10 generations, they can't come in. So we see something was very, very wrong with the children of Lot. How do we understand this? On the other hand, he kept masses, he did tremendous mysterious nefesh for hospitality. How do we understand this fellow Lot? So there's a Gemara. Gemara in the Dharm. It says like this. It says, Rish Lakish says, in Gehenna Ma'atad Lavo. There's this period of time called Ma'atad Lavo, and in that period, there's no Gehenna. Right? There's no, we don't have it. What happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moti Chama Min Arkikon. He takes the sun out of the sheath. Doesn't mean that there's a physical sunglass, sunscreen in front of the sun, but it means there's a source of spiritual light, and the sun is just a reflection of that. And at this time, the spirituality, the spiritual light, the real light, that's what's going to shine. Aragunas, perhaps. Okay? Tzadikim is Rapabot. Tzadikim are going to be healed by this light. They're going to be healed by it. But Rishonim, Nidarnim, Bo. But Rishonim, they're going to find it very, very uncomfortable. And here we have an interesting insight. That you have one pu'ula, but has an opposite effect, you have an opposite effect on different types of people. Those people that are prepared, that they're holding by Kedusha, Mitzvahdimbo, it's great, Mitzvahdimbo, they enjoy it. It heals them, it brings them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But those people that are full of Tumma, they can't bear the Kedusha. It's something that's a contradiction to them, it's something that's very intolerable. Perhaps a loose association would be Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, in Yeshiva, you go walk into Yeshiva Yom Kippur, you see sometimes a bachur, he's clapping al chait. He comes to Tevido, he's sinning, he's crying over his sins, and he cries and he shudders the lung. And you figure this person must have done some terrible, terrible sins, right? And then you look at him a little bit closely and you realize he's a masmid. He's somebody, he's always in the base of learning. He's the first one to come to davening. Why is he the one that's crying that way? They say, oh, but the ones that don't come, they must really be crying. But it's not true. You go in the hall, that's where you'll find them, right? So what's going on? So it's not quite the same thing. But it's very similar. When there's an intense spirituality, we react to that depending on our own level. Somebody who's a Baal Madriga, he feels it. He feels the Yom HaDin inside his heart. The Shekhinah is calling it out, and he senses it. And he cries. Somebody at the lower level doesn't feel that strong. He comes in for it. I don't mean he won't. It's not absolute truth, right? There are those that don't burn so well and don't cry in Yom Kippur too, right? But there's a general pattern. The higher the Madriga, the more you feel Yom Kippur. So we have it. Pasuk says, Hashem says, before Sodom, Hashem says, "Ered another era. I'm going to come down. I'm going to see what's there." When Hashem can't see from on top, was he nearsighted? Why do he have to come down to see? Right? The answer is, Hashem says, I'm going to come down, I'm going to shine with intense ruchnius on Sodom, and that's going to divide everybody up. We're going to see how they react to that. Okay? Lot had a little bit of ruchnius in him. After all, he was brought up by Avram, and he had the neshama of Mashiach inside him. He had the neshama of David HaMelech. When there is intense spirituality, Yom Kippur, Lot rose to the occasion. Hachnas HaTzarchem, come right in. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to risk my life with. Why? Because it was the holiest day in the year. It was the holiest day in his life. It was tremendous spirituality and it affected Lot. But Sodom, it was anathema to them. They couldn't bear it. In fact, the way Sodom reacted was, it blew apart. That same spirituality, that's what destroyed Sodom. Edina, I'm going to come down, the era. I'm going to see if they do teshuvah. Right? Sodom refused to do tshuva, and that's why they couldn't bear the spirituality. But Lot had some ruchnius, and that's why he rose. We don't have time, but you could be Masber Mei Saita this way also. We'll work on it later. Now, when it came to Mitzrayim, the Zohar tells us that the Makas were negosed for a refuah. Each Maka was both a punishment for the Egyptians, but it was a refuah for Klal Yisrael. It was a healing process for Klal Yisrael, which is the same word that we just had before. That Asad Lava, Hashem is going to take the sun out of the sheath. It's going to be a refuah. It's going to be a healing process. What happened? What happens is like this. If you were to look at the very beginning of the world, before Hashem created the world, so if you could look then, you can't because you weren't there, and there's nothing there. But if you somebody would, you would see nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all there was. That's all there was. In fact, by the first Maimer, the very first Maimer was, Bereshis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim Va'aretz. I think at that point it says Yom Echad. It doesn't say Yom Rishon. That would imply that there's two things, right? But Yom Echad, there was only one thing. And again, it was clear, exactly those words, Bereshis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim Va'aretz. Everything that was there was clear, came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing else but. However, what happens is, then there were other Asar Mamaras, right? And eventually Hashem created the sun and the moon. And we know, eventually, people stumbled on that. There are people that worship the sun. There are people that worship the moon, right? And there, and with each Maimer, Hashem hid himself. He concealed himself just a little bit more, and it made more of an assignment, more of an opportunity for people to deny. So we have nowadays in India, when the cow crosses the street, there's a traffic jam. Why? Because they think the cow is divine. They think the cow is divine. But we have people that not so much that they worship things, but they say, you know, the world has a pattern. If you look around the world, you'll see that the sun rises at a certain time and it sets at a certain time, and the 365 days in the year, right? And the moon takes about 29, 30 days. Right? Every day they see a pattern. They say, well, you know, if I do this and this, I'll get a job, I'll have a parnasa. And everything they attribute to Olam Kimahaza Noach. They say there's a pattern, there's a set world, and that's also a mistake. That mistake came about through the Asar HaMamaras. But right at the start, when it was Bereshis Bara Elokim, at that point, there was nothing else besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the immediate creation. At that point, there was no room for mistakes. What happened by the Makkos is very interesting. What happened by the Makkos is, with each Makkah, Hashem removed one level of concealment. The Bedal Yeshua speaks about it. Other Sfarim speak about it also. With each Makkah, Hashem removed one level of concealment. And it goes in reverse order, right? So when you have Makkah Sam, he removed the lowest level. But then we get to Makkah Choshech. And Makkah Choshech, darkness, the plague of darkness, that is the parallel, the mimer of Vayihi Ar. Very interesting. Now, if you look in Chazal, if I remember correctly, I think they say that during Makkah Choshech, the Jews were blessed with a super divine light. They were able to see inside, around the corner, inside jars. They knew all the hidden things of the Mitzrayim. What does that mean? Hashem gave them darkness and he gave them light? No, that's not what it means. It means there was one strong shine of light. And the Jews, they themselves were a Bali Madrega. For them, that light was a pleasure. They could see with that light all over the place. Right? For the Mitzrayim, they were Tumma. For them, it was something repulsive. They couldn't deal with it. It was Choshech. They couldn't move. They were paralyzed. And then we get to Makkos Bechoras. We get to the last one. And that's the one that's connected, which Maimer is connected, the Maimer of Bereshis Bara Elokim. Okay? At that point, what was there, what should be clear, is absolute truth. Nothing else. No room for Sheker at all. The Mitzrayim, their lives were built on Sheker. Right? They worshipped the Seth. Everything about their society was built on Sheker. Such a society could not exist in the same form in the light of such powerful truth. And therefore, the result of that was in the elite of Mitzrayim, right? The Bukharim, right? They didn't live. That was Makkos Bechoras. That's how they perished. How did they perish? They perished from the same side. They couldn't survive. They couldn't deal with it. But Klal Yisrael is Punfakar. This is the light that was the reason of existence of Klal Yisrael. This is the Bereshis, the Machshava Rishayna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had when he created the world, Bishvil Yisrael. For Klal Yisrael, to the contrary, this lifted them up. This is something they rose to the occasion. And the result of that was, B'ni B'chari Yisrael, that all Klal Yisrael was Kadosh with Kedushas Bechar. And it was manifest not just in Klal Yisrael themselves, but it was manifest the most in the Bukharim of Klal Yisrael, which resulted in the mitzvah of Kedushas Bechar and the mitzvah of Pidgin and the mitzvah of Pidgin Aben. And now we understand when we come to the God, it's very good. It says, V'yoteinu Hashem Elokeinu Mitzrayim. Akasha was, that's what he did to the Egyptians. No, that's not what he did to the Egyptians. That's what he did to you. That's what he did to us. He gave us, he showed at that time a tremendous light of Bereshis Bara Elokim, the Bereshis HaMashava. And that was a gula for Klal Yisrael. With that Makkos Bechoras, at that moment, Klal Yisrael became B'ni B'chari Yisrael, and the Kedushas Bechor was chal on all of Klal Yisrael. But the result, the side product was, that there was Makkos Bechoras in the stream of the parish from that. Yudharatzen Rishitaka, every Yid has a tremendous Kedusha inside him. Yudharatzen Rishitaka, be zechah to utilize that Kedusha properly.